It is football at four. And I'm gonna say something that I think Panthers fans, I'm gonna do that all day.
Both.
Fans of the Panthers and also other teams will be happy to hear. We are a couple days after the draft, right? So you've had enough time to let it sink in, look at it from different angles, talk about it with your friends. For the first time since David Tepper took over as owner, it feels like a draft took place and he was out of the way.
At least it feels that way.
It feels that way.
You never know, like, seems if he's still working stuff behind the scenes, but feels like he stepped to the side at least a little bit. At least
this team feels like it's built by Canales and Morgan. Mm-hmm. They the things they've said along the way showed up in the picks made, right?
Yeah.
The explanations that they gave at their post draft presser seemed genuine. It didn't seem like they were going, I wanted CJ Stroud, but Bryce Young was forced upon me.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't seem like they were saying something and thinking something else. It seemed like, no, we were convicted to go up and get Xavier Legette. We were convicted to go up and get Jonathan Brooks. We made those decisions and we were enabled to have the power to do so.
The actions and the words lined up.
And
there's alignment.
We're going to say alignment. We're going to break the record for a radio show saying the word alignment,
right,
between now and game one for the Panthers next year. but that's like, this is big.
Yeah.
If that is true, that is not a small development. The fact that Tepper, and I know he made headlines because he took a hat off the head of a guy at a restaurant and there was a whole thing. But if those are the headlines he's making, fine.
Okay.
Right. I mean, I don't like it, but I would like it much less if the headlines he was making was he went running down to the war room and stood on the table to make sure they drafted Keon Coleman or whoever was in the running for the 33rd pick,
yeah,
instead of Legette, like, or we need an offensive lineman or whatever. Like, I would much, much rather get the vibe that he's not meshing with somebody at a bar somewhere than get the vibe that he's not meshing or not agreeing with what his GM and his coach, who he just hired, want to do. That is the more important part. Now the onus is on Morgan and Canales,
mm-hmm,
right? If this is happening, if David Tepper is actually going, fine, I guess I have to get out of the way a little bit. Now it's on Morgan and Canales to make it work. If Morgan and Canales burn that trust, Tepper will never do it ever again.
Nope.
Every coach and GM to ever work for him will have to fill out like daily reports on everything that they're doing, and minutes of every meeting are going to have to be sent to him, and he's going to have final say on everything. Like, if he truly is giving some leeway, gosh, I hope it works. Mm-hmm. I hope Legette turns into the next Mohsin Mohamed. I hope it all comes true.
I wouldn't hate that.
I hope Jonathan Brooks is the next D'Angelo or Jonathan Stewart. Like
Stephen Davis, somebody.
Stephen Davis, heck.
Heck, CMC.
I was going to say, I'll settle for quite a few steps below that. If the team shows signs of success and improvement, I think that goes a long way towards earning the trust or reinforcing the trust that they were allowed in the draft, if it does truly play out behind the scenes the way it feels like it played out behind the scenes.
And something, when Canales and Morgan were introduced at their introductory press conference, I forget who it was, went up to Tepper on the side and was like, are you, mm-hmm, talking today? He's like, are you going to be available? He's like, I'm in the background now. It's like, but he's never done that. He's like, I'm in the background now. It's like, huh, okay. It's like, maybe you are starting to figure it out a little bit. Again, there's probably still some middling in some way, shape, or form. It's his team. It's his money. I totally get it. But it seems like, yeah, he's starting to, again, phase into the background a little bit. And like you said, let the two guys, Morgan and Canales, do their thing.
I'll illustrate it this way. By all accounts, David Tepper is an analytics guy,
yes,
right? He likes the numbers. He likes the spreadsheets. He likes the, can you show me how much value this player or play is adding, and not just say, like, you know, the old, like, I heard the crack of the bat and I know he's a good hitter. Like, I don't want that. I want exit velocities and spin rates and everything else. I can tell you right now, there are very few analytics gurus out there, mm-hmm, that suggest taking a running back in the second round. However, since Dave Canales has taken over, he's been pretty darn adamant that the way he wants to play football is run, have the everything come from running back, have everything come from touches for your big guys, and lean on the offensive line. So that's what I'm talking about when I say coming out of the draft, it feels like the kind of onus, the decision-making is made by the football people rather than the owner, because it goes against what we believe the owner prioritizes, but goes in favor of what the coach and the GM have been telling us they want throughout the run-up of this offseason. And if that's the case, that's what everybody's been asking for, right? I mean, they've been we see the comments on YouTube. We're about to get to our feedback frenzy later this hour, where we read a lot of your comments. We've seen them all, right? Tepper needs to butt out. Until Tepper gets his gets himself out of those conversations, nothing's going to change. It doesn't matter who the GM is if Tepper's meddling in everything. Like, we see your comments, we read them, we hear them. In a lot of ways, I agree with them. This feels different, and now it better work, or else he's going to go, I tried it your way, it didn't work, we're going back to my way. Tepper rules. And that is, I think we've seen a dangerous way. And by the way, I would say not just for Tepper. That's a dangerous way for any owner,
sure,
who, quite frankly, your expertise is in something other than football. If your expertise is in something else, when we need that expertise, we'll ask you, right? But if your expertise is in when you're asking a football question, you have to go to the people that spent their lives honing that skill, like you did in the financial world, or like other owners did in, hedge funds or whatever the heck else they made their money in. This is how it goes. Dennis throws everything he can at me. Predictions, guesses, ideas, sports takes. And I tell him whether I'm copping or dropping. Dennis, take it away.
All right. So before we're going to get back to Canes, because obviously in 10 minutes, we're going to get your calls
true
for our first goal contestant.
That's everybody, think about who's going to score the first goal for the Canes today, what player and in what period. In 10 minutes, a little bit less, we're going to ask for callers. And the first three callers, if you get it right, you will get a free signed puck. We'll give you a signed puck of one of your favorite Canes.
All right, so I'm going to shift gears over to the Carolina Panthers.
All right.
Real fast. Cop or drop, they signed Stephon Gilmore, cornerback. Bring him back to the Carolina Panthers, since they did not draft someone really fit for the outside.
I'm actually copping this.
Okay.
I think he was a fallback plan where if the draft breaks in a way that maybe they were able to get one of their targets at corner, or they didn't have to use certain assets to move up or down as they did. For example, I think if they didn't feel like they had to move from 33 to 32, I'm not sure they trade back from 39. And then at 39, they might take Cooper DeJean or Kool-Aid McKinstry. But that's not the way the draft went. They felt like they had to move up, so they needed to regain some draft capital, move back. So I think Stephon Gilmore is an excellent ace in the hole, an excellent, like, oh, didn't go that way. Guess we'll have to go get Stephon Gilmore. Will he be a little bit more pricey? Sure. But his veteran leadership will be good in that locker room. Played with Jadeveon Clowney going all the way back to high school and college. So I think they bring him back. And I also think it's one of those deals where it's like your fallback plan, but you kind of wanted it.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, if we get to the Italian restaurant by 6, we'll get Italian. But if not, it's too crowded, we'll go to Mexican. And then, like, you're dragging your feet hard and you're like, oh, man, we got to Italian food at 6:05.
Well,
but you wanted a quesadilla the whole time anyway. You wanted the nachos. I think they're like, oh, yeah, if we get one of our corners, we won't go Stephon Gilmore. And then they made sure they didn't get one of their corners by trading back.
Well,
and
we had other things.
Yeah, well, you know, darn, so close.
Yeah,
guess we'll have to go to Stephon Gilmore. I think that's kind of how it went.
Got to put dog food in the bowl, just all these other things.
I knew I needed gas. I hate driving around with less than 3/4 of a tank.
Yeah, anything less than full, I'm not, can't do it. All right, so sticking with the Carolina Panthers, that is. With the drafting of Jonathan Brooks, that they drafted in the second round, 46th overall, Carolina Panthers release Miles Sanders, running back, one of their top free agent signings of last year. Release him, cop or drop?
Dropping it.
Okay.
I don't think they drop him. I don't think they get the cap savings that they'd be looking for. But also, I think there's going to be carries to go around. And Jonathan Brooks is coming off an ACL.
Mm-hmm.
So while he's supposed to be ready for training camp, I'm not sure you want to throw him into 20 carries or 20 touches, you know, week one. So I think Hubbard and Sanders may even be like, there may be some frustration from fans over the first month going, we traded up in round two to get Brooks. Why isn't he getting the ball? And it's like, give him a minute. About week eight, all of a sudden he's getting the ball more. It's a marathon, not a sprint. So I think there's a role for Sanders. I think there is a role for Hubbard. I think there is a role for Brooks. They just might all be a little bit smaller after the draft than they were before.
All right, next one here. Cop or drop, Carolina Panthers win six or more games this coming season.
That'd be a boost. That's a lot more wins than they did last year.
His roster is far beyond better than it was. Just looking on paper, six. Far beyond better than it was last year, where they fired their coach and won two.
Six or more. Six is interesting.
Yeah.
I think the division is better. I think the Falcons are much better.
Yeah, can't wait for Michael Penix to roast them, right?
Yeah, can you imagine how much better they'd be if they would have took a good pick at number 9 overall or 8 overall, whatever that was? Six, is it six or more?
Six or more.
Then I'll cop it.
Yep.
I think they win six.
Okay.
If you ask me today, I say they win six, which is not, I'm not being negative there. I think I'm being positive there. That's a boost. And you're probably still picking the top five, and you get to bring in another impact player next year when you actually have your first round pick.
All right, I'm going to throw an easy one out here. Lobbing softballs out here for you, Tim. Here at Cop or Drop. Cop or Drop, Canes win tonight.
Cop.
Exactly. Knock that one out of the park. Come on.
That's like earlier when you asked Walt Ruff if he was dressed in all black for the Islanders' funeral, and he just went, yes.
Yes. All right. There it is.
Yes, I believe the Canes win this one. I think probably after losing, this might be the most confident I've been in them in a game because of losing game four, and you know, they're locked in. They don't want to go back to Long Island. They want to stay here, finish it out, get ready for the Rangers.
All right, cop or drop, Jake Guentzel scores a goal tonight. 5-on-5. 5-on-5. No empty Ooh. Netters. 5-on-5, Jake Guentzel scores a goal tonight.
I will let you in on a tease. In about 4.5 minutes, we're going to open up the phone lines
for
first goal scores.
Okay.
And I might be tipping my hand in this one when I say, yes, Jake Guentzel will score, and it will be 5-on-5.
Okay. Next one up here.
So the cop. I don't know if I said the actual word cop.
It's actually interesting because Jeffrey on our YouTube live stream says Guentzel gets the first goal today.
We may be thinking alike, Jeffrey. Maybe. You'll have to stick around for another 6 minutes to find out.
Cop or drop, Carolina Hurricanes signed Rod Brind'Amour to an extension.
I'm copping this. Okay. I think it's going to happen. I think it'll probably be messier than it needs to be. And by messy, I just mean it'll drag on a little bit longer than you should. We'll have more conversations about it than we should need to, because that seems to be kind of how Dundon operates. But that's Tom Dundon, the owner. But at the same time, I think Tom Dundon also understands what Waddell and Brind'Amour have meant to this bill. And I give them a lot of credit for not messing up a good thing. So I think Rod Brind'Amour will be signed to an extension. I think it'll be lucrative. I think it'll be long term, and I think everybody in Canes land will be happy.
Okay, actually, I have another one over here. Going back to the Carolina Panthers, actually, we have seen Zay Jones get released from the Jacksonville Jaguars. There's also a rumor that James Bradbury, former Carolina Panther, with the Philadelphia Eagles being released, since they got two of the top corners in the entire NFL draft this coming week. Cop or drop that the Carolina Panthers will still sign veteran free agents here in the next couple months before training camp. Cop or drop.
I'm copping a veteran free agent. I'm not going to say it's going to be Zay Jones.
Okay.
Zay Jones intrigues me, though. A player with ties to this area all over the place, and meaning to the state of North Carolina. And he brings a unique skill set. And one thing that I really like about Zay Jones is he's been kind of the other guy, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
He's operated as a wide receiver three, a wide receiver four in his career, and made plays in that role. Sometimes, right, you get a veteran wide receiver. If they've been like a wide receiver two or better their whole career, they're not super jacked for like, hey, you're only going to be in when we have four wide receiver sets, or you're only going to be in when one of our young guys needs a breather. But Zay Jones can be effective in that situation, probably wants to extend his career. I don't hate that move at all. So I think they're going to sign veterans. They need to fill out their roster. Zay Jones is an intriguing one.
A little banged up last year, only played in 8 games, mm-hmm. but the year before that in Jacksonville, 16 games, had 82 catches, 823 yards, 5 touchdowns. Pretty productive as like a third receiver. Yep. By the way, if you heard the name Zay Jones before, he played at East Carolina, yep. played 4 years at ECU and put up a lot of big time numbers.
It was a high draft pick out of ECU.
He was a second round draft pick, if I remember correctly. He was Buffalo Bills. Let's see. He was the pick 37 overall.
Yep.
Actually, so early second round pick.